Hey guys and girls, how are you? You're good? Who's good? Woo! We're all good. Okay. Guys, on the floor over there, can you grab a bean bag if you want to sit on the floor and come here? If you want to sit back there, grab a chair so we can see your beautiful faces. All right? So, yeah, I used to do way back in the day. Do martial arts, and part of that was being a samurai, and I had the sword, and I had the whole hakama, and I was like the whole, used to compete, and do all that kind of stuff, and I really loved it. It was actually before I really engaged with God. And so just a quick testimony, for those of you who don't know, because a lot of new faces, I've been around for a long time. I know I look 29, but you know. Who laughed at that? Thanks. Anyway, I've known a lot of our lovely leaders that you have right now when they were just little. So it's really nice to see them all kind of grow up and you know, take the baton and start to lead you. And so I can sort of take a step back and say, oh, wow, this is awesome. But I grew up as a preacher's kid. And like there's a few of you here. And at Preacher's Kids, I totally understand what you go through because there's a lot of pressure. People have expectations of you, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it's just sometimes it's tough. Like you just want to be yourself. And, you know, the moment you do something bad, you know, somebody's running and telling your parents and you're in all this trouble. So that's how I grew up. So I got to the point where I figured, you know what? I can't win, so I'm just going to be bad. So I was one of the bad ones. Yeah. I won't tell you all the stuff I used to do, but I was like the one, you know, smoking in the background or at camp or inciting people, let's get off the campground and go to a bar. You know, so that was me. And I ended up like doing martial arts. I was a really angry kid for a lot of reasons. But martial arts was sort of my place to sort of get out my anger and frustration and all that kind of stuff. And God, just to make a long story short, if you guys want to hear the whole story one day, I'll tell you. But God found me one day. And it was actually in a very strange place. I just want to encourage you that no matter where you are, God knows where you are. He's got your number. He knows your address. He knows every hair on your head. And he sent someone to a party that I was at. And she was just like, God, I don't know if I'm hearing you right. Like, you want me to go to this party? She'd become a Christian. And I mean, I'd walked away from God, the whole thing. And he's like, I want you to go to this party. It was like an ex of hers, an ex-boyfriend. And she's like, God, I don't know if I'm really hearing you right. You want me to go to this party? He's like, there's someone that you need to talk to. And I'm so happy that she really listened to God that day, because how many of you, like, if you hear God say, you need to go to that party, would think that that was God? You'd think it was like Satan trying to get you to get back into, you know, the partying scene or whatever. Anyway, a dear friend of mine now, Larissa, went to this party that I was at, and we met. And actually, we met because she was having an argument with a DJ. She's like, DJ, like, can you play something that's so, like, that song is so demonic? And I'm like, she's like in a party. I'm like, who the is this girl? You know, telling this DJ to play something else. I'm like, what do you want? Like, Christian music? We're at a party. I said, what do you know about demonic? Are you a Christian? And she turns around and she sees me and she says, as a matter of fact, I am. Are you? And it sort of threw me back because I thought, well, I don't know anymore. Because, I mean, even though I believe in God, I've walked away from the church, had all these anger issues, lot of issues. And I said, well, my dad's a preacher. And she said, that's not what I asked. And it got me thinking, well, I hadn't, my parents are, you know, my dad's still a preacher, whatever. you know, I'd go for Sunday dinners or dinners or whatever, and, you know, sort of let things go through in one ear and come out the other. But I hadn't really, it was like God was confronting me. Like, there's a choice that you have to make right now. What are you going to say? And I thought, and I thought, I sort of backed down and I thought, well, I don't know. I don't know anymore. That was the moment when I realized I was so lost. And Larissa, she took my number. We talked. Actually, I went to her car and we talked. And I really felt like God had, you know, finally, he just sort of stopped right in front of me. And I was confronted with him. And she ended and invited me to this church. And the rest is history. But where the samurai thing came in, I was, you know, went to some encounters and I had some deliverance because and my deliverance was really, really dramatic. But anyway, God showed me a dream one day. And I really, really enjoyed my martial arts. And I know some of you may be involved in it. And I'm not here to judge you. Let God talk to you. But I was at a level where I was, you know, the chi, you know, channeling the energy. And he showed me a dream one night. And I was walking into my dojo. And before I walk into the dojo, I would have to kneel in front of an altar that had past senseis and had a statue, a goddess of Shiva, whatever. And, you know, I was justifying saying, well, God, I'm not worshiping any other god, so it's not really an issue. You know, I love it for the exercise. It keeps me fit. And I really enjoy it. And it's like he just put his hand down and crashed and he says, you will have no other gods before you. Scared the living, you know what, out of me, that dream. And my heart was just like, you know, when God, like his anger, just like, and I'm thinking, but I'm not, you know, and I thought, I can't even justify it to him anymore because he's just like, the moment like I took my shoes off and I bowed, that was to him putting an idol before him. And he showed me a vision of putting my sword down. And as I put it down, it turned into a Bible. And he said, I want you to pick up another sword. And so that was my journey, you know. And then getting involved at children's ministry. And that's where I met Ben and met many of your youth leaders now. And we're still involved because God has given me such a heart for you guys, for the youth, because I've been there. I know you think we're old and we don't get you. I mean, I just asked Tammy, what did I ask you, Tammy? What's that thing? The blog site? Tumblr. I'm like, what's, okay, for the old folks in here, what's Tumblr? Like, I mean, like, okay. All right, I've got my Facebook page, Twitter, but I'm like, Tumblr, it's a new one. Oh my gosh, I'm behind the times. but you know what, things are pretty still much the same. I know you guys go through a lot of temptations out there. You got anger. Sometimes you don't like your leaders. Sometimes you don't like us. You know, sometimes you don't like your parents. Sometimes you don't like your teachers. But I'm here to tell you that God loves you so much. And you know what? I can't guarantee that all of you are always going to be sitting in this place because some of you, like me, are stubborn and thick-headed and you have to sort of leave. But I'm going to tell you that God will encounter you at the right time because he loves you and he wants to see you healed and whole and know who he is and know his awesome love. And that's something that I want to be able to share and to pass on, no matter how old I get in this place. We're still sort of, you know, we're more behind the scenes now, and we do speaking at the different campuses, but we help Ben with the leadership of your wonderful leaders, pouring into them. And I'd love to get more involved with, you know, you guys too, and so we'll see how that happens soon. But I just want to bless you and tell you that we love you. God loves you. He knows where you are. He's got your number. He's got your Twitter account number. He knows your Facebook page. He knows everything about you. And he thinks you're awesome. So I'm going to introduce Peter, my hubby. He's going to speak tonight because honestly, this week has been so brutal. I have had no time. I've been out like every day this week, every night for work. And like even last night I got home at 12, like, and I'm like, okay, what are you speaking at work? I don't know. I didn't plan anything. So I bless. What are you doing? Lightsaber me. Yeah. Yeah. I gave that up. I picked up another sword. So here we go.
I forgot my notes just to pull that joke. I think you should keep going. You were good. So how was everybody's week? Bad? Someone said bad? Who said bad? No, it's okay now. Well, Abby's exhaust just fell off. So we need to pray for Abby's car. And I offered to help tie it up. But Carol and I have to go right afterwards. So maybe your brother's coming, but he's in Newmarket. Ajax. So maybe they don't have to be guys, but usually guys are pretty much more handy when it comes to car stuff. I don't want to be sexist. Carol says I do that all the time. But so I want to open this up to everybody. You know, guys or girls, if you're automotively inclined, just give her a hand. Yeah, give her a hand right now. Give her a hand. Hey, Abby. And help her tie up her exhaust. And so how about everybody's week is good? The odds of that, everybody's week being fantastic, or no, somebody's lying in here and that's a sin. So we have to start off with prayer. Someone who must have had a rough week. Someone chip in. There you go. What was your week like? Up and down like a roller coaster. And that's pretty much what our journey's like, right? Like, stuff's not always going to be the same. What does the Bible say? What's going to come our way? Trials are going to come our way. Trials are going to be tough. Trials are going to be... Hang on a sec. It doesn't say if stuff's going to happen. It says when. So, you know, that's pretty much a promise. Is that a... It's not a really exciting promise that God's going to... Stuff's coming your way. Like, that's not too all right with me. Like, just keep that kind of stuff. Just keep the good stuff flowing my way. But how do we grow? How do we change? How do you change? How do you grow? What do you do in school? You learn by reading, and you learn by reading and writing and doing it. Repetition, right? You learn by repetition, right? You learn by repetition, right? You learn by repetition. There we go. You guys caught on like the 60th time. Way to go. So you learn by repetition. How do you keep changing? How do you keep growing? How do you go? And if some of you are kind of smart, I know all of you are kind of smart, you might just kind of be asleep. How do we grow, like the Bible says, from glory to glory? How do we take that next step? No one. It's like crickets. Do we have a cricket sound effect anywhere? There we go. Oksana's going to back to Ukraine. That's very exciting. Anyway, I do have some notes here, but Carol just got us right off on the wrong foot, or on the different foot. So how do you change? What came into your... How did you become a Christian? Chu, is that your last name? It's Joshua? Josh, how did you become a Christian? No, in front of you, Josh. It's pretty much the same for everybody, right? Like... A moment, a crisis of intervention came into your life, right? And, you know, you recognize the need to change, the need to accept Jesus Christ, right? Because you were probably on a path to you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, doing the wrong thing, day after day. I'm just picking on you. I'm not kidding. I am kidding. But usually that's the same for all of us, right? We were on a path going somewhere. And what came into our lives to make us self-examine that? Sometimes it's hard situations, right? Like this movie was on last night, Tears of the Sun. And it's about this. It's an army movie. Guys probably like that. I don't want to be sexist, but guys like that. And they go into... It is sad because Carol knows a family that went through this. They go into a country like, I think it's Nigeria, and they're trying to get to Cameroon. And, you know, there's tribal stuff going on against other nations. And, hi, you waving at me? You saw that? It's sad, isn't it? Well, Carol knows a family like that from Senegal, Rwanda. And they got out through Senegal, or I believe, but they live in Canada now, a great family. And they were forced with this mind-altering decision. They had to make that change. They had to get out of that country. A lot of us don't have to go to that kind of end, right? Just something came into your life to make you self-examine yourself and show that you have to have some self-responsibility. You've got to step up to the plate and either believe what this guy says, Jesus Christ. He's either, man, out there in left field, like just a total whack job, or he's telling the truth, right? So you came to that place, I hope. Some of you here are just here probably because your parents were driving this way, you know, and slowed down and kicked out of the car. No, they're over at church, and you're here half asleep because you have to be here. And your parents have been, you know, not religious, but in love with Jesus Christ, and you haven't made that decision. You're just kind of riding along. You're just coming with them every Sunday, every Friday, Wednesday they go to a cell group. And, you know, you haven't had that moment in your life where you've got to make that decision that this is for me. And you haven't had that mind-opening, broadening intervention almost where you've got to make that decision and allow God to change you from the inside out. So what are you doing? Like with your life, like a lot of you are students right now, right? Probably pretty much everybody here, that's the age range. Students, right? Everybody? Back to crickets. I know some of you, there's lots of different interests, like knitting. Like a lot of girls, I don't want to be sexist. Girls like fashion. You knit? Who else knits? Mark Hardy knits. I know you knit. You're doing it right in front instead of listening to Carol and Peter. But what Jesus called us to do was, if you can picture that broad road. There's a painting I've seen where it's a really wide road. Everybody's headed down this one road. And then it goes off into this city. But then there's a branch off of this very narrow road. And a lot of you need to come to that place where you make that kind of choice because, Christ is going to not make it good enough for when you come here just to be with your parents. And that's a very heart-rendering decision that hopefully you're looking at making because if you're just here for your parents' sake, you know, then... I'm sure you could use the sleep, like Carol wanted to sleep in this morning. So if I can be sexist for a little while, what kind of sport, let's talk about guys, what kind of sport is directional? Like basketball, you're going to one end all the time. Hockey, you know, it's one end and then the other end. Is there any sport that isn't directional? Like when you're swimming? Swimming, you've got to go down a lane. So, nice try, but no. Swimming, like in what? Water polo, you go back and forth all the time. Squash, yeah. You're in a box. Baseball, you can hit the ball anywhere. Cricket, can't you hit the ball anywhere in cricket? Soccer, but you're still going towards one end, right? So what would happen if LeBron James was going down the court and did a 180 and sunk a three-pointer through his own hoop? It would still count. Yes, it would still count. But that would be frowned upon, wouldn't it? So, you know, that's what you guys are doing. You guys are, hopefully, you're going down, whatever game of life you're playing, right? Some people like cricket, squash, basketball, soccer, whatever. And you've got to do a 180. You're not going to score in your own net, but you've got to do a 180 going with the crowd. You're just going like with everybody else is going. And maybe sports wasn't that applicable for this case, because if you turn around, you're going to score in your own net. But what we need to do a lot of the times is, and this is so easy to get caught up in, right? Like, everybody's knitting, but like they're knitting the wrong way, and they teach you the wrong way, but you want to knit the right way. And that's that broad road that everybody is going down. And what you want to do is come to that place where you self-examine yourself, because it's easy to just go along, right? Just go along with the guys at school. Like, they're mouthing off to teachers. They're beating up the little kids. They're, just it's easy to go with the flow, isn't it, guys? Tremendously easy, right, Coots? He's asleep. Let's sneak up on him. Oh, you're okay. Your eyes are open. Has everybody had that pivotal point in their life? Has everybody know Jesus Christ? That's not everybody, but some heads are nodding. Yeah, and where was I here? When I was growing up, I was headed one way. I was headed, there is no God. If there is a God, everybody's getting to heaven because he's a good, loving God. Well, getting back to that 180 degree thing is, you know, I've turned away from that and seen that the only way to God is through Jesus Christ. And, you still make mistakes. You still go through stuff. Coming to that realization that, you've got to make that turn away from the broad road and get into that, choose to convert, to self-evaluate that there is a need for repentance and faith. And those, I guess, are the two words I would use to show that, you know, when you have that crisis, when you have that need for Jesus Christ, when you recognize it, you know, it's repentance of your sins and faith in Jesus Christ that's going to drive you forward. But my first question was, how do we go from glory to glory? How do we, you know, you've become a Christian, you know, you're not here for your parents anymore, you've become in love with Jesus Christ, and he's changing stuff in your life from the inside out, right? Like, you've given up killing people, you've stopped smoking drugs, you're just smoking cigarettes now. No, you've kicked that too. You've stopped some stuff, and he wants to keep changing you, but, you know, you're not doing that decidedly bad stuff, right? Like, the kitchen dagger doesn't have blood on it anymore. You've moved off that stuff. How does he change that other stuff that most people wouldn't say is that bad? How do you go to that next level of glory? How do you go to that next level of intimacy with Jesus Christ? In knitting. That's all I hear. Crickets and knitting. I can just hear Oksana knitting. What I want to say is, don't stop growing. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. What is gone and what has come? So what's new? Your exhaust is about to be new. All things have become new. So what things? Okay, lying becomes not lying. Truth. Killing becomes not lying. So that's probably an easy one for most people to do. Not killing. No one in here is killed. But there's little things that we do, right? Supposedly to keep each other from harm. You know, you might tell a little white lie, but Christ wants us to go to that next level and not just love our neighbor. It's easy for me to love Carol or Belinda or Oksana or the people I've met in Ukraine. But is it hard for me to meet someone who does me harm? Hard for me to love someone who does me harm. How do you love someone who does you harm? Christ is changing you to new things. All things become new. His level of love is love your enemy. Killing thing seems a lot. Jason, seems a lot better to me than loving this guy. I would rather poke his eyes out with a spoon than forgive him or love him. it'd be a lot more fun too, because then, you know, if you run out of foosballs for the table, you can use those. But Anne's just shaking her head. So I hope this is not being recorded. Peter, oh, I don't know. Let's not have him speak again. How do you love someone who decidedly hates you, who does not want to see you succeed, who goes out of their way to trip you in sports or lie about you in school or set you back in some way? How do you love that guy? How do you love that person? Say Oksana's in a knitting competition and this other person makes her miss a, what do you call it? A stitch. Makes her miss a stitch, like Lilo and Stitch. You miss a stitch. You drop a stitch. That's the term. You drop a stitch. Yeah, I knew that. So, how, that's a pretty goofy example, but there's people in your life, right, when stuff's going to come your way. Hard stuff. Harder stuff than you've been through yet. And we're commanded to love these people that are going out of our way. Like someone just threw something at Linda. Do you forgive her? Do you love her? Okay, don't poke her eyes out. That's bad. Love her, Linda. Yeah, that's what Jesus says to do. So to grow up spiritually, to become a more mature follower of Jesus Christ, I want you to take a minute. Don't throw anything back at her. Put the baseball down. Don't throw it at her. Think about how your spiritual life began. When you came to God and embraced the faith, embraced Jesus Christ, embraced his forgiveness for your sins, you were transformed into this new thing. Go back in your mind. Think about that time. Don't think about knitting for a second. Jonathan Hines. Don't think about knitting, Jonathan. When your spiritual life began, that 2 Corinthians 5:17 became alive in your life. And you changed. So to keep changing, all we really need to do is to keep doing what we did that one time. You opened the door to Jesus Christ. You showed that you were willing to repent of your sins and had a lot of faith. And taking that step is just like taking another step, going from being a liar to a truth teller, going from being someone who has very little faith to like a Peter in the Bible. Peter in the Bible is a great example for us today. He was a goof, loudmouth, short-tempered kind of guy that at the end of the book of Acts, maybe it's even in the beginning of Acts, Acts 1, we see Peter as not the impetuous young man that he was. It's only a certain number of years later, I don't know the number, but he is a mature man. He is a leader, one of the pillars of that first church. And that's the kind of characteristics that God wants in you. And that, you know, you're going to be that up here, but right now, your next step of faith is like I was just trying. So think about that first step of faith you took in Jesus Christ, and just allow that to well up within you, those feelings that you had. And if you haven't had it, there's a lot of leaders here that are more than willing to share their life, their testimony with you, and show you, demonstrate to you, how cool Jesus Christ is. And if the girls at the back would do this too, Linda. That conversion time when you came to Christ, that's exactly how you're going to take that next step. You've already expressed repentance. We don't have to redo that. But, you know, faith for that next step, faith in Jesus Christ, that no matter how long this process is, what is happening to you is not going to happen through hard work or attending church. You know, it's going to be, these things didn't save you. These things aren't going to get you to the next level in Christ. They're important for discipleship, but people that exhaust themselves in these things, you know, they're not getting any closer to Christ. They may be just as mean or immature as they were before, but what we really need to have that check on our spiritual growth, You know, we're not going to see it in the first week or the first day. You know, it's going to be a slow transformation, and that reality check is, you know, when you've taken on the values and the interests and strove. When you strive to get into the mind of Christ, endeavoring to do that just a little bit more every day, and that's a step of faith, right? And that's all God wants you to do. If you're reading one sentence from the Bible a day, you know, you could take a small step of faith and just up it to two. Woohoo! Two sentences from the Bible. If you're praying for just a few minutes every day, you know, you can bump that up. And things will start to change as you take a step of faith. As you, I don't want to say work hard, but as you get into the living Word of God and allow it to change you, things are going to happen. I would challenge you to read a page from the Bible a day. And, you know, opening up your prayers. Some people here have been to Ukraine. Who have been to Ukraine on a mission trip? Yay! Isn't that fun? You were there in spirit? Carol and I, not this year, we were fortunate enough to go 2 years ago. And I might have told this story before, but we went to Norway first. And Norway, the money is like one Canadian dollar will buy five Norwegian krones. And the money there doesn't go very far. It's so expensive to live. Like a Big Mac meal will cost you about $18 Canadian. Very expensive to live. In the Ukraine, one Canadian dollar will buy you 8 hryvnia. That money will last you, like what you would buy for a Big Mac meal, it'll last you, like it's $4 for a Big Mac meal, if that, on our money. It's like $2 of our money. Sorry, I was way off, guys. But the people in Norway were, you know, kind of cold and withdrawn. I don't mean to pick on Scandinavian countries, but it took a while to warm up to them. But the people in Ukraine, man, you meet them, they love you, they would give you the shirt off their back right away. And they're that kind of people that just reach out. And because, like my wife Carol's from Jamaica, and back in the day, you know, they didn't have doctors, they didn't have a lot of this, a lot of the healing came from prayer. And it would seem that nations that don't have give with their hearts so much clearer, so much easier. It's amazing to see. And I don't know why that is. It may be some kind of spiritual principle. But when you experience that level of love, and it's just, it challenges, do you not feel challenged and to really step up how you love others when you've been receiving that from, you know, oh, come on, guys. So what I want you to do is take a, you know, if you want to read about Peter, 1 Peter is really good. And just see that the testimony instruction that comes from his life and how it was absolutely essential for him to get into faith in Christ and just flourish. And that kind of change happened in him because, you know, what we're reading is alive. And it's not just words on a paper. It's not just something that someone put down. It's how you started. It's living. It's God put a living seed in you, not something that is perishable. And when you water that with God's word, which is living and honorable and truthful, and these things will bring you, and you won't see it the first day, but you step it up to read and pray more. We just had a speaker here from Germany, Dr. Arnie Elson, and he has a healing ministry in Germany, Hamburg, Germany. And it didn't start out like that. He went to get healed. First night, he was healed from rosacea. And second night, he was healed from something with his nervous system. And so then he went back to his practice, and he really started to get into the things of God and was going to his local church and challenging the solid Christians there with, because there's that verse in the Bible, you know, you can move mountains. So we asked the pastor, how many mountains have you moved? And then, you know, pastor just stood there like, what? But Dr. Arnie Elson took God's word literally. So back at his practice, fast forward a little bit, he's back at his practice, and God tells him to pray for a patient. Not something a doctor wants to hear with a $400,000 bill for medical school, whatever it is. I don't know if that's a number, but he prays for people, and he doesn't get reimbursed from the German government because it's not practical medicine, the medicine that he's been trained up to preach, to practice in, sorry. So he prays for most people, and what has happened out of that is because he's taken this step of faith, people, it's gotten out. People have talked, and cancer survivors come to him. People with cancer come to him, and they become cancer survivors. They become healed. Four people a day. Was it four people a day, Carol? Four people a day are healed in his clinic, one or two cancer patients a day. And it is incredible that the step of faith that he's taken, what he tells them to do is radical. You must read two pages from the Bible a day, and you must get a timer, and every 10 minutes, praise God. Some people, he tells them every 5 minutes, you must praise God. And then he prescribes them to come back. If he's seen some people that only have 2 weeks to live, he, you know, tells them to come back in 5 days. Someone has been told they've got a year to live. He tells them to come back in 2 months. I don't know his or the Lord's success rate in that, but most people, and I would say 80% that do come back, are healed. And he would ascribe it to the step of faith these people are taking that he has told them to do. And now there's variances, right? Like different things happen, but because of his step of faith, and he doesn't get money from the German government now, he'll practice normal medicine if you want him to. But if you're coming to him, it's usually because you're dying and you want to be healed. So you're going to do these things and live. If not, go with your normal doctor's prescription for the rest of your life, days or weeks or whatever. So it's really interesting to see that, and you can research, he's on the web. You can look up Dr. Arnie Elson, E-L-S-O-N, from Hamburg, Germany. And unfortunately, all his CDs are in German still, but he's working on getting them translated. And he was here at the church a few weeks ago. This kind of step of faith, you know, he didn't just, go from boom to way up there. You know, he took little steps of faith, and it was what he prescribed. He did. He got into God's word. He started to take the promises that are in this living word, it's active and sharper than any sword, as truth. And just spoke that out and started to do it. So, you know, when you pray for your family, you pray for your home, your neighborhood, your school, your church, your city, your province, things will change. Things will happen because it's based on this book that says to lose all fear of making mistakes. The Bible says to be eager to make mistakes. That's how... I'm going to ask a silly question here. How many people know how to walk? How to walk. How to listen. How to walk. Everybody, right, Mr. Hines? Everybody knows how to walk. How did you learn how to walk? I knew this guy in Australia, Mark Adam. His feet were born on backwards. Isn't that weird? They had the surgery to cut him off, put him on frontwards. That's weird. That's out of left field, though, too. But when you learn to walk, what happened? People were exampling it to you, right? You're watching adults walk. You had a lot of practice and encouragement. And you'd be this big padded thing on your backside to fall on. But you had a lot of encouragement. And that's what's going to come from the Word of God. A lot of encouragement is going to come your way. The more you get into this living Word, you know, the more of these things are going to come alive in you. And, you know, you may not be a surgeon. You may not be a doctor. But the things, I guarantee you, in your life, the things in your school, the things that are coming against you in the place where God has you right now, and most of your students, and I know living here is not an easy thing. I've told this to Belinda. I've worked in a Christian ministry full-time and lived at the same place, and it's hard living with and working with the same people. They just get on your nerves, and you want to go crazy, but... things, even in a place as, you know, God has covered this property, you know, it can be hard living here. And there's things in all of our lives that God wants us to see, do better at, to succeed at, and to grow in. So at least what I'm asking you to at least do, is double what you're reading. If you're reading a page a day, I need you to find the time to read 2 pages a day. Most of us don't do that. When I was your age, I didn't do that. My goodness. I barely had time to read the Word. But this is the key. This is the tool that God will use for your transformation, getting into His living Word. And that is that next step that God wants you to take. That's that level of self-evaluation, that self-responsibility that God wants you to grasp and to hold on to. And there's beautiful promises in there. And if any of you are in that that kind of dry place, you know, there's when you go to your, what do you call it? Quiet spot, you go to your happy place, you know, there's a waterfall, there's flowers, there's trees. Well, sometimes, you know, when you just let life's hard times and busy times get in your face, you know, you forget to pray, you forget to read, and that waterfall can become a trickle, right? And the flowers can drop off and it can get a little dry. But getting back into this Word of God, this living, breathing Word of God, that He's already planted that seed of life within you, that will unblock the waterfall. And, you know, it'll begin to pour again and nourish everything that God has put in your heart. Because I know that there are some fantastic dreams here. God has given you a word when you were younger. God has, and if He hasn't, ask Him. He will. He will tell you who you are meant to be. Who's the gentleman's name in the white sweater right there? Yes? Zion. God has placed tremendous dreams within you. And, you know, they will come to fruition, and He wants us to just endeavor to, you know, get into that living Word a little bit more. So I would encourage you to do that. Can I finish in prayer, or does the MC want to do that? Or okay. Father, thank You that what You've said to me is strong and powerful and true. What You've told me when I was younger, that You weren't really interested in my smoking or my bad behavior, but You're really interested in my heart position. You're interested in how hard my heart was. And through resolving those issues, the other things got taken away. Thank You, Lord, that as hard as it has been to admit that I've needed You, that I need my life packed with the living Word of God, and thank You for those times that You've come in and shown Yourself to us all. Thank You, Lord, that we here will lovingly endeavor to be vibrant Christians. We know that we visit You regularly and You often love upon us so lavishly that it's just profound and intense, and Your heart is always for us. Thank You that sometimes You tell us the hard stuff, that You will resist the prideful. You will not welcome us in, but that's not to rebuke us. That's to show us how to live, how to humble ourselves and to come into Your arms, Your loving arms. Thank You, Lord, that You're going to work Yourself into our life this whole week. Thank You for Your love that You've expressed through us, through Your Son, Jesus Christ. And thank You for giving us the choice and the ability to self-evaluate and have self-responsibility, and we love You. We love You. We love You. We love You. We love You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.